Even the book of Proverbs alone just so filled with wisdom and truth for our lives. But God, I just pray that you would speak to our hearts on the matter this morning. And please just use the message that it would bring us closer to you and help us to just be on fire for you and live for God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, we read in this verse here, the full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. Proverbs 27:7. The title of my sermon this morning is, Are You Hungry? Just those three words. Are you hungry? Now, what does it mean to be hungry? Let me give you a few definitions. A craving or urgent need for food or a specific nutrient. That's what I found in the dictionary. An uneasy sensation occasioned by the lack of food. A weakened condition brought about by prolonged lack of food. A strong desire or craving. You see, now to most people, the thought of being hungry is probably a negative idea. They think, well, being hungry, that means you're uncomfortable. It means you're lacking something. It means that you wish you had something that you don't have. Now, it doesn't sound like a positive thing to be hungry. It sounds like it's something negative when you're hungry. But yet Jesus said in Luke 6:23, Blessed are ye that hunger now, for you shall be filled. In Matthew 5:6, he said, Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. See, Jesus says that being hungry is a blessing. It's hungry that's the blessed feeling, not being full. Let me explain to you why. Let me give you several reasons why being hungry is such a blessing. Well, number one, we just saw it in the verse we just read. When you're hungry, even the most bitter things in life are sweet to you. Even the worst things in life taste sweeter. Well, let's think about what does it mean to be full. Being full is when you have everything you want. You know, you've eaten, you know, we're talking about the physical realm, but we're also talking about spiritual application. When you've eaten everything you want, when you've just satisfied yourself to the full, there's nothing else that you want, there's nothing else that you lack. Boy, that sounds good, doesn't it? That's the way I want to live. I want to live full. But God says, no, that's not the blessed life. The blessed life is to be hungry. See, when you're full, think about it, you know, you've got all your ducks in a row financially. No financial problems. You're full. The bank account's full. Think about it when your stomach's full with good food. Your marriage is going great. Your job is going great. Everything's going great. Everything's lined up. No problems. That would be the full life. But the problem is, when you're full, when everything's going your way, when God has blessed you to the full, and there's nothing that you need, nothing that you lack, the Bible says even the sweetest thing in the world, even your most favorite food when you're full, to you is just bitter and disgusting. You see, what happens is when you're so indulged in your appetites that you've just eaten and eaten and fulfilled yourself, then he says even your favorite thing, a honeycomb for example, sweet, great tasting, he says you'll loathe it, you hate it. It tastes disgusting to you because you're so full. Well, that's the way it can be in life. Look, if you would, if you're in Proverbs, flip forward one book, and I want to show you this example from the Bible about Solomon. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, just one book forward. It's the next book after Proverbs, so you only need to turn about two or three pages. Get to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. I'm going to show you this. We're going to see this in the life of a man named King Solomon. This is the richest man who ever lived, the man who had everything that the world wanted. He had all the wisdom, he had all the money, all the knowledge, all the power. One of the most powerful men in the world at that time. Look at Ecclesiastes 2, verse number 4. The Bible says, this is Solomon speaking, I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I gathered me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men, as musical instruments and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever, this is the key verse, look at this, and whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion in all my labor, of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Skip down to verse 17. Therefore, I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Here's a man who had everything that the world had to offer. He had 300 wives and 700 concubines. He had more money, more riches than anybody had. He had more wisdom than anybody had. He had more power than anyone in the world at that time. And he said, I got to the end of it all, and I looked at everything I had, and he said it was vanity. It was empty. It was a waste. Hey, think about this man. He said, if I saw something that I wanted, I just took it. I mean, if I saw something in some catalog or in the store, or if I saw a woman that I desired, if I saw things that I desired, he said, I just took it, whatever I wanted. I withheld not my heart from any joy, he said. But look what he says in verse 17. I hated life. Look at that. Everything that you think that you would want in life that would make you happy, he says, I got all of it, and I hated life. As soon as I got full, as soon as I fulfilled every appetite that I had, as soon as I fulfilled my hunger for power and money and women and everything, he said, I hated my life because I had everything, and it wasn't what it was cracked up to be. See, being full is not what it's cracked up to be. God says you'll be a lot happier hungry. Now, God keeps us a little hungrier sometimes than we'd like to be. But we think sometimes that, you know, if we had all our ducks in a row financially, boy, wouldn't that be great? We'd be so happy. Oh man, wouldn't it be great if we just get our marriage on track? Boy, that'd be great. Then I'd be happy. I'm not happy now, but when that happens, I'll be happy. And just think, boy, if I could just turn the corner at my job and just get through this rough time I'm having at my job, then I'd be happy. Then it'd be great. No, it won't be great. Because being hungry is a place that God keeps us for a reason. Isn't there a certain pleasure that you find in being hungry? You say, what? Hungry? Well, I was thinking about this on Thursday. I was in Chicago, like I said. And on Thursday, I got up in the morning. I ate breakfast at 6:30 in the morning. And I was just so busy when I got to Chicago that I just forgot to eat and just busy working. There was no opportunity to eat. So I went all the way from 6:30 till about, you know, 7 o'clock at night, and I hadn't eaten a thing. And, boy, I was starving. You know, it's uncomfortable when you're that hungry. You know, you're working up an appetite. You're working with your hands. But then think about when I got to that restaurant, okay? And think about when I sat down and ordered my favorite thing, nachos. Okay, I had the chips, and these are the kind of nachos I'm talking about, with the chips and the beans and the meat, the steak, the salsa, the guacamole, I mean the whole thing. Just this decked out nachos. Now that's already my favorite thing. But anything would have been good that night. Anything would have been good at 7 o'clock at night after I've been working all day. And so I sat down, I had my, you know, wild berry lemonade or something like that, and I had my big fancy plate of nachos. That was great. It was the best meal I've ever had in my life because it was something that I was starving for. Now look, what if I could feed you a meal right now after church, and I could say, if you eat this meal, you will never be hungry again. I mean, you just eat it one time, and you're filled up. You're done. You never have to eat again. Think about the money that you'd save. Would you really want to eat that meal? You wouldn't want to eat that meal because you enjoy eating. You enjoy the process of becoming hungry and then fulfilling that appetite. I venture to say to you that I probably enjoyed my nachos on Thursday night more than some people go to an amusement park and go on the biggest, baddest roller coaster they have there. Spend $100 to get in, and I probably enjoyed my nachos more because they're full. They have everything they want. I was hungry, so anything was good. And so I probably enjoyed eating those nachos more than the dope addict that's on heroin and he has to shoot up heroin every day. He has to shoot up heroin to get the same feeling that I got when I bit into my nachos. And that's the truth. Because he's so dead in his senses by just indulging himself and not withholding anything from himself, just giving himself whatever he wants. If it feels good, do it. Then he's gotten to the point where he can't enjoy a good meal anymore. He can't enjoy going to the zoo with his family anymore. He can't enjoy just looking up at the stars at night, taking a walk down the street. He can't enjoy the normal pleasures of life because he's so dead in his senses. He's so full. He's so gorged himself that it takes him injecting some chemical into his body to even just get any kind of a pleasure, to have any fun. Let's ask him if he thinks he's happier tonight. The heroin addict, the dope addict, let's see if he's happier today than I am when I go out to church and just have something to eat. I'll guarantee you I'll be happier to spend my time with my wife this afternoon. I guarantee you I will enjoy the time that I spent with my wife this afternoon more than Solomon enjoyed his 1,000 women that he had. Because he was full. but I'm hungry. You see the difference? And so yes, there is a benefit to being hungry, because even the bitter things in life, even the things that are maybe not as exciting, if you're hungry, they're good. Look, if you would, at Luke chapter 6. I want to show you something here. Look at Luke chapter 6. I just want to show you the same concept, and then I'll move to the next point. New Testament, third book in the New Testament, Luke chapter 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke. This is commonly known as the Sermon on the Mount in Luke chapter 6. And in verse number 19, the Bible reads, "And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and he healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you that weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for you've received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for you shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." You see, God's saying, look, you that have already received everything, you that are full, you've already received everything that you want in life, you've already gotten all your reward, you've rewarded yourself. Instead of waiting on God to reward you someday in the next life, you just reward yourself with everything in this life. He says, woe unto you. He says, I feel sorry for you, because there's going to come a day when you're hungry. He said, I'd rather be hungry now in this life and be full in the next life for all eternity than to be full for a little while now and enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Because that's what Moses said. He said, he chose rather to suffer. You hear that word, to suffer? He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. See, you can enjoy the pleasure of sin. You can just indulge yourself like Solomon and these other men who just give themselves everything that they want. But it's only for a season. It's only for a little while, and then you'll reap the hunger later on down the road. I'd rather be hungry now, because then I have something to look forward to. But see, when you're full and then you're hungry, you have nothing to look forward to, because you've already had it all, and it wasn't what it was cracked up to be anyway. You see, there's a cycle. It's not a question of just being hungry all the time. There's a cycle that's found in Matthew chapter 5, the verse I read, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." See, the word filled there, it doesn't say they shall be full. Being full is not what you want. You want to be filled. Filled is like a continual process. It's a verb that's not done yet. So he's saying, blessed are you that are hungry, because then you'll be filled. So you go from being hungry to being filled, to being hungry, to being filled, to being hungry, to being filled. He says, look, I'm not just going to give you everything you want and fill you up. He says, I'm going to keep you hungry. That way you can enjoy it when I do bless you. That way you can enjoy it when you do get something from me, when things do go your way, because you're starving and hungry for something good, and when I give it to you, you'll enjoy it. So number one, being hungry makes the things of life taste sweeter. Even the bitter things can be sweet when you're hungry. But number two, being hungry makes God's Word of more value to you. Look at, if you would, at Deuteronomy chapter 8, fifth book in the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 3. It's a great verse in Deuteronomy 8, 3. The Bible reads, "And he humbled thee," speaking of God, "and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." You see that? He says, look, sometimes I have to make you hungry in life to get you to understand that physical food is not what life is about. Your money in your bank account is not what life's about. Pleasure and living it up is not what life's about. The Word of God is the valuable thing. This is what you need more than food. Job said, I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And sometimes God has to put us in a place where we'll realize the value of God's Word. For some reason, when people are full, sometimes they just don't see the value of God's Word. They're too busy having a good time. They're too busy living it up, spending all the money, and just gorging their fancy. But, you know, there comes a time when something happens to them, negative, and it's amazing how that's what drives them to God. It's amazing how then they understand God. You know, when they're laid up in a bed in some hospital somewhere, then it's amazing how receptive they are to the gospel and salvation. It's amazing when somebody's laid up, all of a sudden reading the Bible sounds like something fun to do. But when you're out just having a great time, sometimes maybe the Bible goes on the back burner. And so that's another reason why God has to keep us hungry sometimes. God has to keep us hungry. He has to suffer us to hunger, as it says in Deuteronomy 8:3, in order to show us that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. See, this is the food that we need. This is what we really should be hungering for and being filled with it constantly. See, I read the Bible yesterday, but today I woke up hungry to read more Bible. And then, you know what? This isn't going to satisfy me, because tomorrow and later today, I'm going to be hungry to read more Bible. Because it's a constant process. Am I ever going to be filled where I've just arrived and I've got all the Bible I need? I know it all. I've learned the whole Bible. You can't teach me anything. I've learned it all. No, and what a terrible thing if I could know the whole Bible. Because then there'd be nothing else to fill up on each day. And so I want to be hungry. I want to keep learning. You know, think about the unsaved man who's full. Remember Jesus said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Think about that. He says it'd be easier, you'd have an easier time taking a camel and jamming it through the eye of a needle than to get a rich man saved. And of course his disciples said, how can anybody be saved? That's insane. And he said, well, with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. So yes, you can get a rich man saved. But I remember, my dad told me the story about my grandma and grandpa, his parents. And my dad's parents, my grandpa was very successful financially. He had a business going, and he was making just all kinds of money, just hand over fist, just money. And he was just prideful as a result, because he made himself all this money, he was doing well in life. And so my grandma was saved, but he was not saved. And so she began to pray, and she said, God, and think about the character that this took. She said, God, take away all the money so that my husband can get saved, if that's what it takes. You know, she said, whatever it takes. She said, take away all the money. Bring us down to nothing, God. Bring us down to emptiness. And take away the money if that's what it'll take for him to get saved. And you know what? That's exactly what happened. He lost everything. He lost all the money, and he got saved. Hey, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Was that, well, it was too bad that he lost everything, huh? No, glory to God that he lost everything. And that's why you have to be careful how you interpret the events of life. Because you don't know what God's doing when God puts you in a position where he suffers you to hunger. Maybe he's just driving you to read the Bible more. Maybe he's just driving you to the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're full now, and you don't read this book like you should, and you don't respect this book like you should, and you don't feed on this book every day, I'd watch out for some lean times coming your way. God may send you a little hunger to get you reading this. Why? Why? Because he wants to punish you? No. When God punishes sin, he sends people to hell. Okay, that's the punishment for sin. The wages of sin is death. All liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's the punishment for sin. And if you're saved, it's already been paid by Jesus Christ when he died and paid your sins and went to hell and rose again from the dead. That's already been paid. God doesn't punish me. He doesn't punish you. He chastens us. He disciplines us. Because the punishment for sin is more than we can handle. It's called burning in hell. But the chastening is where God disciplines us for our benefit. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, for they verily, for a short time, chastened us after their own pleasure. Talking about our earthly father. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. When God disciplines us, it's not for his benefit, it's for our benefit. And so God will cause you to hunger if you don't read the Bible. God will send you lean times if you don't meditate on the Word of God day and night, because he wants you to read this book for your benefit. He's trying to bring you closer to him for your benefit. He wants you to be hungry for you. It's not for him. It's not because God is trying to hurt you. You say, God, why did you cause me to lose my job? God, why did you cause my car to break down? God, why did you cause these horrible events to happen? Look, God is maybe trying to suffer you to hunger a little bit so that things in life can be a little sweeter to you, so that you can enjoy the things that do come your way, and so that you can be driven to the Word of God. Look, if you would, at Psalm 107. Right in the middle of your Bible, the book of Psalms. It's Psalm 107, beginning in verse number 1. This is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. I love this chapter, Psalm 107. Look at verse number 1 of Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gather them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord. You see that? Then they cried unto the Lord when they were hungry and thirsty in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses, and He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men, for He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. See, that's who gets filled up with God's goodness, is the hungry soul. See, this chapter in Psalm 107, and read this later. Just really read this chapter and let it sink in. It's a great chapter. It's a cycle, you'll see. It happens about 4 times. There's a pattern in this chapter. It talks about people who are doing well in life. They're full, if you would. Then, they're not really glorifying God. They're not really praising God like they should. And so God brings them through some hunger. He brings them through some hard times. And you'll see this pattern about 4 times in this chapter. Then they cry out to the Lord, and He delivers them out of their distresses. But then constantly, 4 times He says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. He's saying, look, if they would just praise Me for My goodness and praise Me for My wonderful works to the children of men, I wouldn't have to bring them through as many of these hard times to get them to turn to Me. But oftentimes, unfortunately, that's what God has to do. Because when we're full, we won't turn to God. And so He has to put us through the hunger to get us to turn to Him. And saying, good night, why don't they just praise God in the first place and this wouldn't happen? But I don't have time to go through that whole chapter, but it's a great chapter. Look at Luke 15. I'll show you again. Third book in the New Testament again, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter number 15, very familiar story, the prodigal son. Look at Luke 15, chapter 12. I mean verse number 12. Luke 15, 12, the Bible reads, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Boy, isn't that the attitude of today's generation? Just those 2 words, give me. That could be the words for 2006 for young people. For teenagers, for young adults, give me. Hey, Uncle Sam, hey, U.S. government, give me. I deserve the food stamps. I deserve you to put me in a house to live in. I deserve my phone bill paid by you because I went out and got knocked up and had a bunch of illegitimate babies. So give me, give me, give me. That's the way it is, isn't it? Hey, Mom and Dad, you owe me to pay my college for me. Give me, give me, give me, give me. My name's Jimmy. I'll take all you give me. That's the motto of our generation. Not thankfulness for what's there. The Bible says that in the last time some shall depart from the faith. It says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, unthankful, unholy, disobedient to parents. You see the grouping there? He says in the last times they're going to be unthankful, they're going to be unholy, and they're going to be disobedient to their parents. This is the attitude toward parents today. Give me. The world owes me a living. The government owes me a living. People call this church. You wouldn't believe this. I mean, we just started the church 6-7 months ago. People call this church every week asking for money, handouts. People, you know, women who are estranged from their spouse, they're estranged from their boyfriend, whatever. They won't come to church. I mean, it'd be one thing if they came to church and said, hey, I need help. They don't even come to church. They're just calling down the phone book, just looking for free money. And I said, well, come to church. What? I have to come to church? No, I just need money for my rent. I just need $200 for my rent. I don't want to come to church. Isn't that amazing? It's just this give me attitude. You know, I work a full-time job to pay my own bills. I pay my tithe just like you do. I work. I support my family. I make my own money in the fire alarm business. And somebody's going to call me almost every day with their handout saying, give me. You owe me something. It's garbage. This world was a lot better before we had all the social programs, before Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Whether you like that or not, that's the truth. Before FDR came and gave all the government handouts, people used to go to the house of God. They used to cry unto the Lord, and He delivered them out of their distresses. But now they don't go to the church anymore. They go to the government. And then they just call the church every once in a while to see if they can get more free money to supplement so they can buy a bigger television. But we see in Luke 15:12, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. See, give me what I got coming to me. Why does he have anything coming to him? But look at his attitude. Give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. That's the hunger, the famine in that land. And he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. Remember we saw, to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Here he is. He goes into a far country. I'm going to get as way far away from my dad as I can. Of course, the father here is God the Father represented. The son here is the younger son is a Christian who's rebelling against God. He's backslidden because he's a son of God, but he doesn't want anything to do with God. So he's going to get out of church. He's going to get away from the Father's house, the house of God, the church of the living God. He says, I'm going to get as far away from it as I can, and I'm just going to go live it up, riotous living, party, rah, 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 kind of a lifestyle, and I'm going to fill up. And boy, he got full. And he was having a time with all kinds of riotous living. But then a famine came in the land. Then he got hungry. I wonder who sent the famine. I'll bet you God sent the famine because he was trying to get a hold of this guy. And the famine came. He's hungry. He runs out of money. And he gets to the point where he's feeding pigs for a living. And it says he's just lusting after what the pigs are eating, wishing that he could eat some too. Now look, this story never meant a lot to me until about 6 months ago. I was in New Mexico with my sister. And we went to her pastor's house and he had pigs. He was keeping pigs there in Farmington, New Mexico. And I guess I'd just never really seen pigs in their natural element. You know, I've seen them at the fair or something. It's not really the same. And boy, these pigs were filthy. And you think it's just a stereotype. It's not. I saw these pigs. I mean, they're just wallowing in the mire. And I'm not going to mention what a lot of the mire is, but it's filthy and it's disgusting and it smells. And boy, they are just the most disgusting. It makes me look at pork in a whole different way. But anyway, it was bad. And I was looking at this and I was just thinking to myself. I thought of the story of the prodigal son. I thought, good night. How hungry would you have to be to desire what he's feeding these pigs? It'd be pretty bad. Well, there he is. He's starving and hungry. And look what it says in verse number 17. Or look at verse number 16. You know, he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Nobody would even give him the pig slop. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. See the attitude? He says, here's a Christian. And get the story right. A lot of people are mixed up on this story. Get the story right. This is a son of God. This is God's son. You got the brother that stays behind, and you got the brother who goes off into sin. The Christian who goes off into sin and gets backslidden. You have the other Christian, the elder brother who lives for God, stays in the church, stays in the house of God. Well, this younger brother goes out. He gets away from church. He's out of church. He's partying. He's living it up. He says, God, give me what's coming to me. Now, he didn't mind getting saved because that's free. I mean, it's a free gift of God is eternal life. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That was fine. But then he continues with this attitude of just, okay, God, give me this. Give me that. Give me what's coming to me. Give me what I want. And then he just goes out and just parties and lives it up. As soon as he gets what he wants from God, he goes out and lives it up. And then God drives him to a place of hunger where he lacks, where his life is going wrong, where his finances are gone, his friends are gone, his girlfriend's gone, and he's got nothing. And then look at the attitude that's different. He says, I'm going to go back to that. I'm going to go back to church. I'm going to go back to God and say, God, I'm not even worthy to be called a Christian. He says, I'm a disgrace. Can you just allow me, please, the privilege of serving you, God? Would you just let me work for you, God? Is there anything that I can do for you, God? Because I've been such a fool, I've wasted my life, and I just want to work for you, God. Would you let me do that? You see, that's what hunger will do to a person. And so is hunger necessarily a bad thing? No, I don't think it is. Because number one, Living life a little bit hungry is going to make you enjoy life more. Because you'll be able to, you won't have to shoot up on heroin. You won't have to go to the movies and watch things explode to have fun. You could just go to the zoo and have fun. You could just go out to eat and have fun. You don't have to indulge yourself in a bunch of pornographic filth at the theater. And there's no movie at the theater that you ought to be watching, period. And there's nothing on the television that you ought to be watching that's produced by the world, that's produced by Hollywood. It's trash, it's garbage. That's a whole other sermon. I could go down the list and explain to you why that is. But is that what you have to have? Is that what you have to have? You just have to sit down and watch some exciting thing on the television to have any fun because you're so full. You can't just enjoy the things that God's given you. You can't enjoy the family that God has given you. You got to enjoy somebody else's situation. You got to enjoy everybody else's stuff. No, be content with such things as you have. Which leads me to my third point. Number one, being hungry makes you enjoy life more, period. Because you can just enjoy anything. Number two, being hungry will drive you to God and to the Word of God and to the things of God. It'll drive you to be a better Christian when God keeps you hungry. Unfortunately, that's just human nature. When we're full, we forget about God. But number three, being hungry teaches you to be content with what you have. I'll just quote this for you. Philippians 4, you don't have to turn there. Paul said in Philippians 4, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. See, that verse is commonly quoted. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. But what's it referring to? Let's put it in context. He says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. He says, I know how to be empty. I know how to be full. He says, God has given me, He's ordained my life to be a life of being full and a life of being empty. And that's how I've learned in whatsoever state I am, wherever I am, whatever I'm doing, to be content. Isn't that what you want in life, to be content? You want to be happy? The way that you're happy in life, the way that you're content in life is where God gives you everything and you can praise the Lord and thank Him for it. And then when He takes you down to nothing, when you're abased and humiliated to nothing, can you still be content and praise the Lord and thank God for what He does for you? That's happiness in life. Where you can say, if God causes me to hunger, there's a reason why, and it's for my own benefit. When He fills me up, praise the Lord, I can enjoy it because I know what it's like to be hungry. And you're never going to learn to be content. He said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. You're never going to learn how to be hungry to be content, unless you go through the hungry time. The hungry time is teaching you how to be content with what you have. The full world out there that has everything they want, they don't know how to be content. Let's ask Bill Gates if he's content today. He just wants more. Let's ask Donald Trump if he's happy. He can't even get a decent haircut. I'll say it again. He can't. I mean, the guy, Donald Trump, all the money in the world, hey, at least I could get a decent haircut. Okay, I may not have as much money as Donald Trump, but I don't cut my hair in the dark with a dull pair of kid scissors or whatever he does to get that crazy haircut that he has. He looks like a freak, okay? Boy, I just heard that he's building a new tower in Chicago. I just heard about this. Taller than the Sears Tower, Trump Tower. It's going to look like a big like drill bit or something, like a Christmas ornament. Big, giant, tall thing. You think he's satisfied? I'll guarantee you that I'm happier than he is. I'll guarantee it. I'll bet you anything. I'll bet you all his money that I'm happier than he is. Because he's never going to be happy because he doesn't know what it is to be abased. He doesn't know what it is to hunger. It's just filled, filled, filled. And I'll guarantee you that if you got him by himself and said, tell me the truth, he'd say, I hate my life. He'd say, I'm like Solomon. I hated life because I had everything and I'm stuffed to the limit. I can't even enjoy anything anymore. But see, you live for God, and God will get you hungry, and He'll fill you up. And then He'll get you hungry again, and He'll fill you up. And that's the happier life, is living for God. No, it's not a life of being filled. It's a life of hungry and filled. It's not just all full. See, you've got to thank God for the full times and when things are going bad. And you've got to learn to love those hungry times. You've got to learn to enjoy suffering and being hungry and saying, you know what, this just means that the filled is on its way because God promised He'd fill me up if I'm hungry. And you've got to learn to just enjoy both sides of the coin. You've got to learn to always in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. But number four, and this is the most important point, number one was, you know, if you're hungry, you're going to enjoy life more because you're not just overindulged to the limit. Number two, being hungry will drive you to the Word of God and the things of God. Number three, being hungry is going to teach you to be content with what you have because you know what it's like to have nothing. And so anything you have is going to be a blessing. But number four, don't ever be satisfied and don't ever get to the place where you're full, where you say, I've arrived, I'm full. Don't ever be full. Don't you just have something burning inside of you right now this morning? Don't you just have a starving feeling in your stomach right now that says, I want to do something great for God. I'm not satisfied with what I've accomplished in life. I'm not satisfied with just getting up, eating breakfast, going to work, eating lunch, eating dinner, coming home, going to sleep. Isn't there something inside of you, some kind of a hunger inside of you that says, I want to do something great for God. I want God to use me in a great way. I want to win people to Christ. I don't want to be like everybody else. I want to learn God's Word. I want to be a great Christian. I want to live for God. There's got to be something more than what I have right now. I'm hungry for something else. Isn't there that hunger inside you? If you don't have that hunger inside of you, if you just say, I'm satisfied, I'm full. I come to church on Sunday or Wednesday because I'm just kind of knocking it off, you know, marking it off that I've been there. Because that's what you do. You go to church. You know. Look, if that's you, I feel sorry for you. If you're not hungry right now, if you're not hungry, hungering and thirsting after righteousness, as Jesus said, if you're not starving to just see God answer some great prayer in your life, to see those loved ones and friends saved, to see God take you and lift you up to become the great servant of God that He wants you to be, the great soul winner that He wants you to be. If you're not starving for that, then I feel bad for you because Jesus says, woe unto you. He says, you're not blessed. I don't care what you have in life. I don't care how your life's going. He says, you're not blessed if you don't have any hunger, if you don't have any vision of something that you don't have, of something that you want that you don't have. If you've got it all, he said, I feel sorry for you because you've got nothing to work for. You've got nothing to look toward. You've got nothing to look forward to because you've just got it all. You've had it all. God says, no, don't ever be satisfied. Don't ever be filled up. Look, I'm not satisfied with the soul that I won to the Lord yesterday. I'm not satisfied at all. I'm not satisfied with, you know, look back at the bulletin and say, oh yeah, we had these people saved back in, you know, March or January. Or, oh yeah, we had somebody baptized, you know, a couple weeks ago. Hey, that's good. Great, isn't that? No, I'm not satisfied at all. David said, I'll be satisfied when I awake in his likeness. He said, I will never be satisfied until I get to heaven. So don't ever get to the place where you're full. Say, I'm always hungry. I'm always starving. You say, boy, isn't that kind of uncomfortable to live like that? It's a little bit uncomfortable, you're right. But there's glory, there's joy in living like that. Yeah, it's a little uncomfortable. God said, I want you to be hot or cold. I don't want you to be lukewarm. Hot's uncomfortable. Cold's uncomfortable. Lukewarm is comfortable. But he says, I didn't ask you to be comfortable. He said, I asked you to be hungry so that I can choose when I fill you up. And then that's where you can enjoy the blessings. And he says, don't ever get satisfied. Don't ever get full. Always be hungering for more. I got to see more people saved. I want to be closer to God. I want to read more Bible. I want to memorize more Bible. I want to do more for God. I want to be used by God more. I'm starving. I'm hungry this morning. And so let me ask you the question I started the message. Are you hungry? That's the whole message. Are you hungry? Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, I thank you so much that I can look back in my life and I can see some times when I was pretty hungry. I'm talking about physically, I'm talking about